FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and I'm here in the failed city of Las Vegas. Yes, it is a failed city. You just have to walk down the streets to know it. The homelessness is rampant. It's filthy beyond all belief. I don't know when the last time they power washed the sidewalk in this town. Very disheartening when you consider this city was only founded in 1905. In any event, as always, be part of the show, participate, send us your comments to kl@kerrylutz.com. I bumped into our good friend Joe Messina, who is just happened to be visiting, and Joe, not really known as a libertarian, but he's on our side for sure. Joe, it's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Kerry. And listen, I had to take exception to what you said because the hookers are doing a great business out here, so I don't think they're failing at all, do you?
Well, you know, if they do fail, then they become homeless and then they get free stuff. So I guess there's no, you can't lose. But hey, so when was the last time you were in Vegas?
Oh, my God. Had to be 15, 18, 20 years ago. I mean, it's been a while because I don't gamble. I think the shows here are really tough to, and I don't mean the entertainment shows. I'm talking about the conventions and what have you. Hard to get around, very expensive. You know, I lucked out with my room here, but for the most part, it's just too expensive to have it here.
I'm totally in agreement with you. I'm getting tired of the town. I mean, when I first started coming 20 years ago, it seemed there was like a sheen of optimism. And now there's just a sheen of dirt and soot that overlays the entire town. No new hotels being built to speak of. Yeah, the housing market's come back, but you still see these foreclosure theme parks. But it's just typical of the decadence that you see around the country.
Well, no, I agree with you. And you go outside. I think there's a strategy here, though. As you said, you go outside, you walk around, streets are dirty. It's not a clean city. But if they can keep you in the casino, right? They keep you in the hotel. They keep you in the casino. Everything. I bought a 4-ounce or a 6-ounce bottle of water for $5 yesterday, all right? And I had a whole group of people behind me, and I was like, okay, I can argue this, but it's not going to work. And then I asked the young man, I said, do I get a stock certificate with this? Because it's water, my friend, you know? If I was a Democrat, I'd be screaming, hey, isn't water a human right? Why can't I have some of that?
Yeah, your riparian rights. It's so true what you're saying. Like, they used to keep people in the hotels because there were shows, the gambling was great, and it was a whole circus going on. But now they're kept in the hotel because they're afraid to go out onto the street because they're going to be accosted by somebody trying to give them a flyer for a prostitution gang, or, you know, the homeless are going to accost them or whatever. It's totally, totally changed. So it's kind of sad on that score. But what do you think of all the libertarians?
Well, you know, one of the things I was commenting about earlier was that it's not like when you go to a place where the hard right is there with you, you do get into some heated discussions, but you're on the same page. You go to where the left is, and there's a constant fight. I will tell you that being with these libertarians, 9.5 out of 10 times, it's a spirited discussion, but it's always good. It's never hateful. And, you know, there's a lot of valid points, and they're not ideological points. That's the difference. You know, they're looking at it as a true freedom of an American when they talk about, you know, legalizing drugs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, very true what you're saying is Mark Skousen, who puts on the show, always says having a bunch of libertarians get together is herding cats. But the debate is never about should we take this person's freedom away to achieve a higher good for society. It's a question of how can we ensure that the individual has the largest amount of freedom possible.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, but here's my comment with the libertarians, especially the drug issue. I always say to them, look, everybody has a right to do what they want to do. If they want to kill themselves, let them kill themselves. If they want to stay high 724, that's fine too. But where do you draw the fiscal line? Because, you know, at some point in time, they're heading out to the hospital. They can't pay their bills. You know who's paying that? You and I are paying that. If If they need rehabilitation, you and I are paying for that. If they have kids that go into foster care or get taken away from them, you and I are paying for that. So is there a limit? Is there a point in time where you go, okay, look it, you're just getting too stupid for your own good?
I think the limit is when you're dealing with substances that have really proven dangerous effects that you have to intercede. But the thing is that when somebody wants to do these things, you can't stop them. And if we weren't in a welfare state, you wouldn't really care if they went to the hospital and who was going to pay for it. A charity would pay for it, and that would be it. So the argument against it is because we don't have freedom now, meaning freedom in our health care. It's provided by the government for the most part, that therefore we have to stop these people from hurting themselves, imposing a burden on a society that society has placed upon itself by not allowing them to be responsible for the consequences of their own actions. But that doesn't mean, just like I don't think the average person should really have grenade launchers in their car with live grenades that they can just pop out at will, or maybe give them a little suitcase nuke, because that's what freedom's all about after all, or even the argument of a fully automatic machine gun. I think there are limitations society has to place, and I don't like the idea of young kids and their parents with these opioids. But many would argue, Joe, that the opioid epidemic is a direct outgrowth of government, of the prior administration, Obama and Bush and others, pushing people towards opiates for painkillers.
Well, okay. That one there, I kind of have to agree with you on, from a standpoint of they're giving out drugs like candy. Doctors are giving out drugs like candy. We're not working through anything anymore. Everything is pill-oriented. It bothers me. I hope my doctor doesn't hear this, but I remember going in to see him, and the first thing he said to me, your dad on blood pressure medication? Yeah. Your brother on blood pressure medication? Yeah. All right, well, I'll cut you a prescription. No, don't cut me. Tell me what I can do to bring it down. Don't give me a pill for it. What can I do to change this? And he really had no real answers for me, so I did it on my own. And you and I have talked about this before.
Sure.
So we've become a pill-driven society. You know, again, I'm going to get in trouble for this. You look at your young kids with what my dad used to... My dad used to diagnose this as out of control. He didn't diagnose this as ADD. And he had a more of a physical fix for that, if you would. Now, I know there's people that do have some of these issues, but when it gets to the point where they're even admitting they're over-prescribing drugs for young kids,
yeah,
when it comes to, you know, issues that they're having. So you're right. We're doing it to ourselves, but who's funding all of that?
Hey,
chemical companies.
Now you're getting me started, because every one of these mass killers that we've seen, school shooters, have all been on SSRI, you know, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft-type drugs. Every single one. The other thing is, 26 out of 27 grew up in a home without a father. So you combine the anti-anxiety, anti-depression medication in a young brain with lack of a father authority figure, and this is madness on a it's just rocket fuel madness, and we have to do something about it. So is a question less freedom, or is a question more freedom?
I hate to use the term of a guy I didn't much care for, but you know, above my pay grade kind of thing. I realize that we want the freedom to be able to live our lives, do what we want to do and what have you, but I'm going to go back to what I originally said to you. We're going to get involved one way or the other. The government, unless to your point earlier, we go, okay, you decided to do too many opioids and you overdose. Not our headache, it's yours. I don't know if you're an ex-smoker, but I'm an ex-smoker, and I'm not going to beat on smokers. But here's the deal. Why, after 20 freaking years, 25 years, are you reading the warning that you may get cancer? Am I all of a sudden expected to pay for your cancer treatment because you never put the pack away? I mean, why?
California has taken care of that. You got assisted suicide now. So this is just longer suicide that's unassisted till the end when you get assisted. But seriously, you know, that's why everybody needs to vape instead of smoking cigarettes. It's much less harmful to your health. and less harmful to those around you. You know, you could really vape on a plane, but no, we can't have them vape because the water vapor that comes out could be hazardous to everybody around you. Who the heck knows? But the problem usually is a lack of freedom has led to this problem, and then the prescription is we need to take more freedom to solve it, and yet it never gets solved, Joe.
No, but all right, so let's take that freedom all the way around. We're sitting in a restaurant in Vegas right now, okay? I was wigged out yesterday because I'm sitting there and people are smoking next to me. Now, they have a right to smoke. I got it, and that's okay. But see, there's where I would say smoking on the right side, no smoking on the left side. Is that taking away somebody's freedom? What if I'm a restaurant owner and go, you know what? I bust my hump to make my food in here, and it smells like the food doesn't smell as good if you're smoking. No smoking in my restaurant, okay? I mean, are we taking people's freedoms away? Are we just putting up some guidelines that again, I want to live by?
Totally agree with you. And you know what? If people want to smoke, there should be restaurants that say, we only take smokers. If you're a non-smoker, don't come here, please. And so you have the left side, you have the right side, and then you have the real side. Right, Joe? Had to get that in.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The real side with the Joe. And, yeah, we deal with issues really at the real raw level. And you can head over to therealside.com. You can find out stations, times, pick up podcasts, see my happy little face there. I don't know about little, but happy face.
Happy.
Happy is the important thing. Hey, who knows? Maybe a vape company will hear this this interview and they'll approach you and want to advertise on the real side. And then you're going to be having a real moral dilemma to vape or not to vape.
In my office. Vape in the studio. Oh, God. Yeah. No. Hey, look, if I agree with it, I'll take it as a sponsor. Take them as a sponsor.
And that's fair because it all comes down to freedom and freedom of choice. If you want to do this stuff, fine. But you know the hazards going into it. Like you said, for virtually most of our lives, there's been a warning label on cigarettes that says this stuff is going to kill you if you do it long enough. And what part of kill don't they understand? But yet, the one good thing, Joe, is if you remember when we were kids growing up, over half the population smoked. Both my parents smoked. Everybody smoked.
Cigarette at some point in time, and you never really asked for permission to smoke in someone's living room because there were ashtrays, dirty ashtrays everywhere. You knew it was okay. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and now, you know, and it was normal, and how dare you be offended by my smoke? It's your problem. Now, it's like, how dare you light up a cigarette without asking me or illegally in an area? But
defeated me. Yeah, right.
But always remember, when you're in Vegas, the casino is home to all vices. And this place is no different. Anyway, you find Joe. Joe, you actually have like a regular Monday through Friday gig, therealside.com. And you can find it on Facebook Live, and you can find it on YouTube Live, and who knows, pretty soon you might find it on CNN Live.
You got we're like horse manure on a ranch. We're everywhere.
Yeah, and it seems to work. Anyway, again, join the discussion. Email us. We're live in Vegas now, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Email address kl@kerrylutz.com. Joe, we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks for having me, Kerry. Good time.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.